Not many of the thousands of passengers arriving every day at London's busy St Pancras station are aware that they are passing just a few dozen metres away from one of the largest and most diverse collection of cheque books outside the Czech Republic. Tucked in beside the station is the huge but surprisingly inconspicuous complex of the British Library. In this week's Czech Books, David Vaughan shows us some of the highlights of the library's rich Czech collection.
The curator of the Czech, Slovak and Lusatian Sorb collections of the British Library is Susan Reynolds, whose passion for books and for all things Czech is evident the moment you meet her. When we met in the high open lobby of the library complex, completed some 20 years ago and housing over 14 million books, she greeted me in fluent Czech.
Dobrý den, jmenuji se Susan Reynolds, a jsem kurátorka české, slovenské a lusicho-srbské sbírky. Vítáme vám.
And Czech is just one of Susan Reynolds' many languages.
I wouldn't say that I actually speak more than seven, but I have a reading knowledge of about perhaps another 20 on top of that, including dead languages, so-called, because I don't believe there's anything that's like a dead language. Certainly you can kill a living language by an imaginative approach to it, as happens so often in school. But yes, I can still, for example, enjoy reading Latin, ancient Greek, Old Norse, just as much as so-called modern languages.
We made our way through a labyrinth of corridors to the administrative offices of the section for European languages, where Susan had already ordered up some of the most valuable and unusual books from the Czech collection. We began by looking at one of the earliest books, a cancional, or collection of musical settings for the Protestant church service, published by the Unitas Fratrum, the Unity of Brethren, in 1575.
It's one of the oldest and most valuable books of our Czech collections. As you can see from this beautifully wood-engraved frontispiece, it has the readings and psalms for all the Sundays and feast days of the Christian year. And if you look more closely, you see it's published by the Unitas Fratrum. So this is, in Czech liturgical terms, a very significant work. And we have in the British Library collections the largest number of Czech Bibles outside the Czech Republic, including, of course, the famous Kralice Bible, which I would have liked to show you today, but for conservation purposes, I'm afraid, wasn't accessible. So instead, we have this, which I think is an acceptable substitute, beautifully illustrated, and in remarkably good condition, considering its age, with all kinds of manuscript notes made by the original owner. And anyone who has followed the history of Protestantism in the Bohemian lands will realise what significant work this is. It was brought out just over 40 years before the outbreak of the 30 Years' War, and we can see in this one of the real treasures of the Czech Reformation. And this is freely available for anyone who wishes to consult. You just have to come along and get a reader's pass as a member of the British Library. You can order this up, and here it is for you to hold your hands with due care in the rare books section and turn the pages, just as the original owner did over 400 years ago.
My personal favourite among the books that Susan Reynolds showed me was a collection of poems by a poet from the turn of the 16th and 17th centuries, whom you featured in past editions of Czech books, Elizabeth Jane Weston. She was an Englishwoman, the stepdaughter of the celebrated alchemist Edward Kelly, and she spent most of her life in Bohemia, writing some of the most beautiful poetry in Latin of the entire Renaissance period.
This book in front of us is particularly special because it is signed by Elizabeth Jane Weston, Elisabetta Johanna Westonia herself, in 1610. She subscribes herself as the wife of Johannes Leo in Aula Imperiale Agentis, ex familia Westoniorum, Angla. She's still a proud Englishwoman after living all her life in Prague. Sadly, she had a short life. She was born in 1582 and died just 30 years later after having produced a large family of children and many learned poems. So before us now we have a book which has a little frontispiece with an illustration, we think, of the poetess herself, brandishing a quill in her right hand and a book in her left. It was a collection of these poems, Amicis Desirantibus Communicatus, communicated to her eager friends, who were eager to read, that is, the work of Virginis Nobilissimae, Poetrae Florentissimae, Linguarum Plurimorum Peritissimae, a most noble maiden, was flourishing as a poetess, and skilled in many languages. The fact that it's called Parthenikon, the work of a maiden, dates as the period before her marriage, and she is still, as we've noted, proud of her Englishness, which made her a kind of almost totemic figure at the court of Rudolf II. It's remarkably good condition for its age, and, as I said, there's a long poem written in Latin, Ad Lectorum, to the reader, which is in her own handwriting, which makes this even more distinguished and gives a great feeling of intimacy to your holding and touching the book in which the poetess wrote these lines herself. In these lines, she says, "All things, reader, in the little book I make present to the public." Here she's saying that she is publishing them not out of simply of vanity at having got them into print, but also because, as was the practice in the ancient world of a bride dedicating her playthings on her marriage, she's dedicating her writings as a young maiden to the muses on her own marriage. The next item which I'd like to introduce to you is one of special interest in this year, which of course marks the bicentenary of the birth of one of the Czech Republic's best-loved poets, Karel Hynek Mácha. And here we have a book which came out in 1836, the very year of his death. And I'm sure you can guess what this is. Before us we have a first edition of his great poem, Mai. It's a very frail, very battered book with a flimsy paper cover. Not surprisingly, because of its delicate state, it has to be kept in a special box. But once again, any reader who wishes to come to the British Library and order it up and hold in their hands the very first edition in which Mácha himself would have received this book from the press. On the title page, for Praze, and the date 1836, we have those famous lines, Daleka cesta má, má nebolání, which appear on his tomb in the Vyšehrad Cemetery. Then we turn the first page and we find the dedication to Hynekom. And following that, and following the dedicatory poem, those lines which are surely familiar to every Czech reader, Byl pozdní večer, první maj, večerní maj, byl láský čas.
Late evening on the 1st of May, the twilight May, the time of love, meltingly called the turtle dove, where rich and sweet pine woods lay. Whispered of love the mosses trail, the flowering tree as sweetly lied. The rose's fragrant sigh replied to love songs of the nightingale.
These pages are fragile and spotted with age, and still, despite the strange-looking typography, which looks closer to Polish than it does to modern Czech in its old orthography, these lines are instantly recognisable. And I felt that potentially in this bicentenary year, it befitting to include this among the items which I want to introduce to you. We do, of course, have other editions of Mácha's works, but this is the oldest and perhaps the most special, and one likes to think this is how he saw it when it was published just a few brief months before his death at such a tragically early age.
In shadowy woods the burnished lake darkly complained a secret pain, by circling shores embraced again, and heaven's clear sun leaned down to take a road astray in azure deeps, like burning tears the lover weeps.
The famous opening lines of Karel Hynek Mácha's famous poem, Mai. To complement the huge collections of books and documents, the British Library also stages regular exhibitions, and next year one of these will be of particular relevance to the history of Czech literature.
We're preparing for next year's very exciting exhibition, due to open in May 2011, about science fiction. Now, where would science fiction be without the Czechs, who after all invented the word robot?
The word first appears in the classic RUR, a science fiction play about artificial people who stage a rebellion against the humans they are created to serve. It was written by the best-loved and perhaps the most influential Czech writer of the interwar period, Karel Čapek. Needless to say, the British Library has a first edition.
And we also have the first English translation by Paul Selver, which has plates illustrating exactly what the first robots of the British stage looked like. However, when I tried to order this, I found I'd been preempted by our exhibitions department, who've taken it away to consult. What I do have, though, is one of the famous translations done by the Wetherals of Čapek's writings into English. We have in our collections some which I stumble on quite by chance, dedicated in Chappock's own hand to his British translators. But here we have one which dates from 1940. Once again, quite a fragile book. It belonged to Mvanwy Hammond, dated April 1940. And this is a translation, Travels in the North, exemplified by the author's own drawings. Now, obviously, this book came out at a time of severe austerity. There were paper shortages. It's published by the Reader's Union, by arrangement by George Allen Unwin. And what does this tell us? I think it shows us that, already by this time, Carl Chappock had won considerable place in the hearts of the British reading public. Why else would they bother to bring out a book by a comparatively obscure Czech author, English translation, at a time when paper was at a premium? And so it testifies to his wide travels, the interest which he took in other languages and cultures besides his own, and also to the way that the British public took in their hearts and wanted more and more translations of his works.
The British Library's Czech collection is not just of historical interest. Under Susan Reynolds' supervision, it continues to grow. Some books come through exchange agreements with other libraries and academic publishers, but Susan makes a point of being eclectic in the books she chooses for the library.
Sometimes we do find eyebrows being raised when the books arrive in the department. Increasingly, the covers, to attract a wider public, are rather lurid, and it's hard to explain exactly why we choose these in the first place, but then, obviously, when we know about it, it becomes obvious why we should have them. Then, popular fiction often tells us about the way that the state of women is changing the Czech Republic, which it has done dramatically since the end of communism. Women are being forced to rethink how they shape their lives with the vanishing of universal free childcare, for example, and how they relate to their professional and personal worlds.
So the Czech collection at the British Library is expanding, although, like so many public institutions the world over, the library is facing budget cuts. To find out more, you can go to the British Library's website, www.bl.uk. And if you happen to be in London, you can even order up some of these books yourself.